This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. On the first Friday of each month, we take occasion to discuss a topic of environmental pertinence to our state, our county, and to our hometown. Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and host of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. In this September edition, the focus is on the recent algae bloom in Lake Erie and the important role Michigan's agriculture industry plays in keeping our Great Lakes clean.
Agriculture is the fourth largest contributor to our state's economy, with Michigan the second most diverse agricultural state in the nation outside of California. How do these two critical facets of the Michigan experience come together? And what role does farming play in ensuring the long-term health of our lakes? My guest today is Jim Byram. Jim was raised in a farming family and has a deep passion for agriculture, leading to a career that has included numerous positions in the industry. Jim was the state executive director of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency and currently serves as the president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Pleasure to be with you, Lisa.
In early August, more than 500,000 residents in the Toledo area, and some, in fact, in lower Michigan, were prohibited from drinking their tap water due to a toxic algae found in Lake Erie. Residents had to travel as far as Washtenaw County to in search of bottled water. What role do you see the agricultural community playing in the creation of this algae and, in fact, in the cleanup of the algae?
Well, Lisa, first, I have a lot of experience on Lake Erie. I used to boat on Lake Erie for many, many years. So I'm familiar with the situation on the lake and the dynamics of the lake itself that are troubling and cause some of the issues, that it's very shallow, of course, east of the or west of the islands. The flow through is not as much as you would like. And so there is a responsibility there. I mean, from agriculture's perspective, especially in the Michigan experience, we've done several things recognizing water quality because we are very, very sensitive to water quality. In Michigan, we require NPDES permits for large livestock operations, which many other states don't. We actually use site-specific agriculture, grid soil sampling, variable rate fertilizer application on a higher percentage of cropland in Michigan than any other state in the Midwest. We have a green agribusiness program that aggressively talks with our members that are primarily the agronomy retailers, those that sell fertilizer to farmers and seed and things like that, about the importance of the environment and dealing with some of these critical issues. But going forward, that's not going to be enough. We need to be aggressive about how we approach this issue. Agriculture needs to be part of the solution, and we want to participate with others that are proactive in trying to deal with this problem. So agriculture's there. We're willing to sit down and talk and look at some of those solutions that make sense for everybody.
So many have called this contamination of the Toledo water supply a wake-up call. I mean, this is the fourth largest city in the state of Ohio, fourth, sixth, and more than 500,000 residents were impacted. Do you see this as a wake-up call that will change government practices? And you've highlighted a lot of positive things that are already being done. What do you think will incentivize the community to even do more?
Two or three things I think are important. It's one thing to close beaches, and we've seen beaches closed on Great Lakes for some time. When it directly impacts water and the access to tap water, that is a game changer. Clearly, that hasn't happened very often or very frequently anywhere in the United States. So that does change the discussion. It changes how folks are going to approach it, what we're going to be willing to do, and frankly, it has heightened the awareness, even in the agricultural community, especially from my realm, that folks are much more cognizant and aware of the situation and know that things are going to have to change and we're going to have to do things differently. There's no question about it.
89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues. I'm Lisa Wozniak, and we're talking about the recent Lake Erie toxic algae with Jim Byram. Jim is the president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association. Now, Jim, last year a milestone piece of legislation, the 2013 Farm Bill, was signed into law right here in Michigan with Senator Debbie Stabenow, chair of the Ag Committee, leading the charge on that. One of the standout pieces of the Farm Bill was its focus on conservation practices. Do you think the provisions in the Farm Bill will begin to address the Lake Erie toxic algae bloom?
Absolutely, Lisa. And one of the things we're really proud of is that first proposal that went in, the pre-proposal on the Regional Conservation Partnership Program, was a partnership between ourselves and the Nature Conservancy dealing with the Saginaw Bay. And to indicate and demonstrate some of the commitment that the private sector, our members, have to that endeavor, we are going to encourage our folks, our private agronomy folks that call on farmers every day, are going to be talking to those farmers about conservation practices, cover crops, fill shoulder strips, waterways, all sorts of things, grid soil sampling, using variable rate fertilizer application. Under that program, we're actually going to deliver conservation programs in the private sector. It's a private-public partnership that we think makes a lot of sense. I'm confident that we're going to see a similar program on Lake Erie, and that makes sense down here as well. It makes sense in every critical watershed, and gosh knows, virtually the entire state of Michigan is a critical watershed.
Another big announcement from the federal government was the EPA's Waters of the U.S. rule, which adds clarity to the Clean Water Act and inherently gives the EPA more authority to go after damaging and polluting entities. The Farm Bureau has been pretty outspoken in opposition to this new rule, saying it's an overreach of authority. What's your position on this, and how do you see it impacting our waterways, including Lake Erie?
Obviously, we're concerned about private property rights. There's no question about that. But at the same time, we think Michigan's program works pretty well. And we're kind of following the lead of the Department of Environmental Quality and what their comments are going to be to the EPA. We've seen the maps that have the whole country would be regulated, and we've seen maps that are different than that. I think there's somewhere in between going to be some sort of resolution. The other piece that's significant, I think, is that this issue in Western Basin of Lake Erie clearly demonstrates that every waterway is connected, so there is an issue that we need to be cognizant of.
You're listening to 89.1 WEMU and our first Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm Lisa Wozniak, and we're talking to the president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association, Jim Byram. Our time is running short already in this great conversation. I'd love to know, in these final minutes of our time together, what can be done to unify the conservation and agricultural community? Both care deeply about the Great Lakes and rely on Michigan's waterways for recreation, tourism, farming health, and not to mention the drinking water of millions of people.
Well, we all live here. We need to be talking. We need to be working together. Conservation groups and agriculture, which unfortunately over time many have been diametrically opposed on issues, we need to be working together. Everybody wants to maintain water quality. We all want to maximize production and food availability. But at the same time, we might have different approaches to some of those issues. We have found that as we have worked with conservation organizations over the years that, frankly, we agree on more than we disagree. But getting in the same room and sitting down without hyperbole and without aggressive conversation seems to make sense to me. Example, Lisa, you're going to speak to one of our organization's events here in a couple weeks, and we're pleased that you're able to do that. We're working with the Nature Conservancy on the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. We're working with Clean Water Action on some of their activities. It's important to recognize that you can't agree if you don't talk.
Are there any final thoughts you'd leave with the listening community about ways that they can get involved with this issue if they care deeply about what's happening with our waterways?
Well, agriculture is not an enemy, I think, is the first state. And the second, I think that everybody needs to recognize that we want to be part of the solution. And that does mean that we're going to be doing things differently. For example, our board of directors here about 10 days ago just approved a new program where we're going to provide training and certification for folks that apply fertilizer, those that apply it either commercially or private if they wish to participate. That's a major step forward. We haven't done that before, and it's just recognition without government intervention that we want to step up and do what's right.
That is Jim Byram. Jim is the president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association. I'm Lisa Wozniak, inviting you to join me next month for the next edition of 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment.
Lisa Wozniak is executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment is a monthly feature and is heard, as you might expect, on the first Friday of each month. For more information on today's feature and to visit our archive, go to our webpage at WEMU.org.